Glorious and free.
There's something like regal yet resigned about the way that you're saying that. Maybe it was the...
I need a derby while I'm...
Fetch me my smoking coat and a bowler. No,
and,
not...
And
not
your finest pipe.
Bowls. Not a person that bowls. A hat.
Damn it.
You Philistine. This is Canada, damn it. Get me my derby. Get me some steampunk fiction to say words about.
And Nickelback. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man James Tapeleg Graylian and I discuss Matt Duchene trade things, the new fancy top line for the team, why opponents may like to poke nail Yakupov, and James breaks down his bone breakage. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 109 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He's James Tapeleg Graylian, and I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Howdy.
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Oh, man, great. Let's talk about stuff.
We're back in some ear holes. Mm-hmm. Got a lot to talk about. I think initially, between last show and this show, there was going to be some things, and then there was a big thing, and we'll talk about the big thing. But yeah. One thing we do like to do is talk about draft picks and year numbers, and this is episode number 109 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche, so we're going to talk about the 2009 draft.
Yeah.
Who did the Avalanche draft in 2009, James Tapeleg Graylian?
Gus Young.
He was good.
Gus Young.
That's not a hockey name.
Should I go? I'm going to go bottom to top on this one. Okay. So seventh round pick was Gus Young.
What sport should Gus Young be playing? Because it's not hockey.
Gus Young should be a baseball player.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's a sports name, but it's definitely not hockey.
Yeah, Gus Young is definitely a baseball.
Okay.
Brandon Maxwell, that is more of a football name.
I like what we're doing here. We should do this every show. The guys that didn't play in the NHL.
Round. Fifth round was Kieran Millan, which I believe should be soccer.
Okay. And so. I think I knew he was a goaltender. That's definitely a goaltender name if he's going to go into hockey. So he did well there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their third round pick was Tyson Barry, which is, that's a basketball player.
We know that guy. Part of the famous Barry NBA,
mm-hmm.
Rick Barry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Steve Barry and Tyson Barry. They were the three, they were the Barry brothers.
Steve Barry. Brent Barry. Weird noises.
I don't know what that is. Oh, I know what that is. That's okay. My heater.
Oh, okay.
God,
it's a little chilly in here.
Appliances.
It's no big deal.
Oh, I all normally turn those things off.
Who else we got there?
Oh, we have the Maytag sales guy.
Repair just hanging man. Out. He's like, hey,
how do you forget the heater?
I hear your heater. You want to turn it off?
I do, but at the same time, there's a certain element of me that's like, well, it's better than the leaf blower.
There's no doubt about that.
All right. Stefan Elliott. Was second round, mm-hmm. And I'm going to take a pause and turn that off while, you know.
Okay, let me talk about
it. It's not like there's anybody else, right?
No, definitely not. Tyson Barry, again, part of the a Barry good player.
Why?
I have to do the puns while you're away. Because you won't punch me if you're across the room turning things off.
But I'm back.
You are back.
I turned it off. It didn't turn off.
Well, it takes a second.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh. My goodness, you're here to tell me.
Yes. I'm here to help.
God, why?
Okay.
Okay. Then they got a future Buffalo Sabre in Ryan O'Reilly with the 33rd overall pick.
Decent second round pick right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Good pickup. And then...
There's a name here.
Yeah. There's this guy.
There's this guy here.
Third overall pick.
Where's he been? Like, it's like he's not even playing. He's like a no-show.
My man, Duchene. yeah, Matt Duchene.
Kind of awkward.
Kinda.
Were you watching the game when he was traded?
No, I was actually texting you from Boulder.
Oh, that's right.
And then I've never rushed home for a blowout loss like I did for that.
But you did.
Huh? Yeah. And Mark Mosher was like, "Oh, here's what the Avalanche are telling me," and then it turned out that wasn't what the Avalanche were.
Things
really
got weird. There was some bad tweets and
misinformation and.
So there was some stuff, but
finally the thing happened though. So anyways, yeah, third overall pick. And, when they drafted him, they showed that picture of him in his room with like the Joe Sakic poster and the Patrick Waugh poster and all that stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about Matt Duchene in a sec. So that was kind of the start for me of like that Edmonton Oilers-esque. You know, he went third overall. Then the next draft, it was Landeskog with second overall. And then the next draft was MacKinnon.
I believe so.
Yeah. And so, and then everybody going, "Hey, look at those guys." Except they're not.
Felt like the old Oilers.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Exactly. You know, and so I always kind of felt a little weird about it because everybody was giving the Oilers as much grief as they were for all those first round picks and not working out. And I'm like, "Hey, guys, have you looked at the Avs lately and what they're made up of?"
Bye. Hold my beer. We'll take one of those picks they had. Yeah. I haven't seen that happen. I've seen stuff like that happen during baseball. Mm-hmm. I've never seen stuff like that happen during a hockey game.
Yeah.
Where he's traded literally during the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to check that one more time.
Okay, you should do that.
This is killing me. Okay. Talk to the fans.
Hey, fans. Do you like hockey? Because, ow.
That's a hot water heater because we do this in my apartment. It's not like Tape Lake Studios. It's like some massive complex.
If you have that picture in your head, you need to get rid of it.
Did you have trouble getting past the security guard there, Jay, when you came in?
He's usually pretty nice, but he was
isolated room that has like $1,000 microphones.
He's usually pretty nice, but he was a little handsy today. I don't know. Handsy. Yeah, a little handsy.
Well, you are wearing that nice Broncos sweatshirt. It's kind of
pretty comfy.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. Looks comfy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So he
traded during the game. Blake Como takes a puck off the back of his ear, mm-hmm. and Matt Sokolowski, I don't know how to say his name, but the head trainer, taking Como off, and Duchene follows right behind.
Right behind.
There's an interesting video that was posted by TSN where the glass door, because in Brooklyn, the opposing players have to actually skate off the ice behind their net. Mm-hmm. Rather than behind the benches, which is most of the arenas.
Because this arena was actually designed for some concerts and basketball. And mm-hmm. never hockey. And that's why they have sightline issues.
We're a couple minutes in and we've dropped basketball stuff twice. That's pretty good. Yeah. But anyway, as the door closes, as Matt Duchene comes off the ice, Kyle Keefe's face, you can see the reflection. And his reaction was our reaction. It was like...
What?
W-U-T. Yeah.
You'll note that in this game right now, last night's game against Nashville, Kyle Keefe was back in the studio. So
there you go. I don't know if that says too.
I'm not trying to make draw conclusions out of that, but
I'm going to get back to the Duchene trade WTF here in a second.
WTF face.
But I really
What the face?
Why the face? I'm going to get back to that in a second. Altitude has made some changes where when they're at home, they have Peter McNabb between the benches, Mike Haynes, and I think Rycroft up top now.
Yeah.
I like the third voice. I think it's kind of a nice change for those of us. So shout out to Altitude TV for trying new stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then John Michael Lyles with Keith, which
he's
is
dreamy.
Kind of fun.
He's dreamy.
Really?
First of all.
Okay.
I mean, there's that. But it is nice having another voice. I like having that a lot.
He's not a tall man.
Mm-mm. He's not big, but man, he lasted in the league a long time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Small defenseman can get things done.
What is it with guys who leave the Avs like your Lyles and like who just they go somewhere and then just nothing happens. They don't really.
There's been a lot of those.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. Is it the altitude?
I don't think so. I think it's
like the air.
It's definitely the air.
Yeah.
I think the talent that was here, especially even not even 100% Joe Sakic, made people better. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Even toward the end of his career where he was struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Still better than a lot of people, but I don't know. We should
figure
that out though.
All right. I'll do the maths.
Okay. Let me know next show.
No.
The end of this show. Thanks.
So three team trade,
mm-hmm.
which is just weird.
Another weird thing. You don't see three. You see it in basketball more often than any other sport.
Right.
Another basketball. Matt Duchene to the Senators. Kyle Turris to the Predators from Ottawa, and he signs.
Yeah, he signed a 6-year extension.
$36 million, which is almost as much as we make.
Which is staggeringly in those internet dollars.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin.
The thing with that one was weird to me because he's been such a weird cast off for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been a major star in Ottawa or anything like that. I was just like, wow, that's a chunk of change to throw at a guy who is, this is his third team. That's not that many teams
right. In
the end, but has he really been a true number one guy that
$6 million a year guy?
Yeah. How much is McKinnon going to make? Close to that?
He's right around there already. Yeah. They're right around that area anyway.
That's top end Avalanche salary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt about that. EJ, Varley, McKinnon, Landeskog. Yeah. The core guys.
Barry? What's Barry? I forget what Barry.
I think five.
Okay.
I mean, there's places that can tell us that, but let's just guess for now.
Okay.
But the Avalanche end up.
Speculation.
We're good at that. The Avalanche end up with three picks and four players between the two teams, which is, that's big.
So, yeah, the whole Joe Sakic, I want to hang on and see and get what I want. And then he got what he wanted.
And people didn't know how to deal with that. They're like, what? And then they're like, hey, this isn't bad. And then you watch, especially a Sam Girard play,
mm-hmm.
and you watch his feet and he's 19 years old. He's eligible to go back to juniors and he's looking like he's played in the league for a while. Especially as a defenseman, Peter McNabb during last night's game in Nashville was like, I can pretty much guarantee you that there's not going to be a better defenseman traded at any point during the season. Not a bad gig.
Yeah.
The first round pick that the Avalanche got from the Ottawa Senators is a guaranteed top 10 pick.
Mm.
I think if it ends up a top 10 pick, Ottawa can choose to use it this year. It doesn't, they're pretty good. So
it's top 10 protected.
Right.
So
there's that. Yeah. So if they don't use it this year, and choose not to use it this year, the Avalanche automatically get it next year. I don't know exactly all the little things in between there, but top 10 picks are always good. They get a second round pick from Nashville, a third round pick from Ottawa. They get defenseman Sam Girard, goaltender Andrew Hammond.
Yeah, that one was interesting to me.
The Hamburglar was hot for a couple seasons ago. Everybody loved him, and now he's
he crashed. You know, he came back down to earth.
It's a throw in.
And that's the weird one to me, because now I'm starting to wonder if the Avs don't make the playoffs, if it's going to be if Bernier is going to be on the trading block for somebody who needs a solid backup.
Could be. This leads to more speculation. So, and he was actually left on loan. So the Avs said, hey, we'll take you in our organization, but we'll leave you in Bellevue with the Senators organization until we figure out what to do with you.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything with him yet. There was a forward, Shane Bowers, and
I wonder how that works actually with the, if when they leave him, they say, okay, we'll leave him on loan because you guys need the goalie, but you got to play him. Like you can't just bench him for a guy who you're still developing for your own system. But
that's weird.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Shane Bowers, a forward, came over to the Avalanche organization. He's 6'2", 185, currently playing at Boston University. He was a first-round pick of the Sens last season. He was a 28th pick in the draft. And then Vladislav Kamenev came over, 21-year-old forward, started off in San Antonio, gets called up, and then Brooks Orpik broke his everything.
Wow, yeah.
Did you see that hit?
I did see that hit, Brooks Orpik. And I don't know when it happened, if it was from the hit or if it was from the way he landed. Yeah. It could have been either one.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
He was bleeding from his nose. I thought that was the bigger issue, but then not long after that, between periods, they said he had broken his arm, so he'll be out for a little while. But
first NHL game.
Welcome to the NHL, kid.
Man.
Yeah.
But Brooks Orpik, man, he has just turned into a whirling dervish out there. I don't get it. He is a tornado of pain. And you wonder, I don't know. I mean, he was hired. He used to be like the skilled guy.
Not anymore.
No, it's just, you know, bang and crash. And I swear he spends half the game in the penalty box.
I will break you.
Yeah.
I must break you.
I must break you.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was a serious hit.
Mm-hmm.
We had neck snappage. We had nose leakage and broken forearms. Do you know about broken forearms?
I've never had any broken bones ever.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Like,
that's a freaking lie.
James is broken, and I'm trying to stay healthy over here.
Broken forearms, both.
Was it from something similar? Yours?
Mine? It was a scooter accident when I drove into a car.
Oh, I thought it was hockey related.
No, my ankle was hockey related.
Oh, I knew that.
No, my broken wrists, both of them were the scooter accident where I punched the guy's trunk with my hands.
Ouch.
And then wound up inside his car.
We should come up with an alternative hockey story for that injury just to make it sound awesome, too.
I skated into a guy's car and wound up inside his car.
I like it.
You know, what is wrong with, okay, first off, I understand it's a scooter, so it's not like a motorcycle and really manly, but I did break both arms and wind up inside the guy's car head first.
That's awesome.
And I climbed out of his car. Now, what more do you want from me?
Never mind.
I am not here to live up to your expectations.
I had never heard that story.
Breakage.
Oh, man.
Oh, you never heard that story.
I don't think you've ever told me that.
I have to have told you.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
I like that story way better. Forget the hockey story, then. We don't even need one. You climbed out of the dude's car.
Do I need to say, but we digress, just to get us back on track with like, hockey? Isn't that, nobody else cares.
I know. Isn't that like it's common knowledge now?
Do you want me to should I just tell you the story afterwards and then we'll put that in as the end bit?
You should totally do that because people are people care.
We'll end bit. If you care about how I broke both of my arms at the same time, I will tell that story, and that will be the end.
Awesome.
Okay, great. Let's
Can't wait. Joe Sakic, we feel this deal brings us
Did
some
Joe
top.
Did Joe Sakic break both wrists?
No, he's not cool like you. Exactly. He's not cool like you.
I don't need
you.
To tell a hockey story, lie about it. Bring the thunder.
Yeah. We feel this deal brings us some top prospects as well as some high draft picks as we continue to build for the short and long-term future. So just like you just said, I mean, here's the rest of his quote. We said all along that we wanted to be patient and wait for the right deal, and this is the opportunity we feel is best for the organization. Watching just Sam Girard and watching how the poise and the patience he plays with as a 19-year-old on the blue line, I'm not saying who won the deal. I don't really care who wins this deal. I hope it works out for everybody so everybody's happy, but I like what I've seen so far.
Mm.
And more first-round draft picks, when you use them well, hopefully can lead to good things.
Hopefully. I mean, you never know. Ryan O'Reilly worked out pretty decent for playing-wise, you know, business-wise, not so much.
Yeah. But he was a second round. Stastny was a second round. I mean, there's some number one picks that are here now, too, between McKinnon, right?
Yeah.
No, McKinnon, EJ, Yakupov. I don't want to be the Oilers again. Can we not do that?
Well, please? You know, just keep getting other people's picks.
There you go. I don't know. Hopefully it works out. But EJ wasn't buying EJ after the game, and I will post the interview, he was hockey, but he wasn't super duper hockey. He was trying to be nice, but he had a hard time doing it. And you could see, and I think since you can see that the team has a little different attitude, has a little different. It seems like they're glad things are over and they can move on.
Well, the monkey's definitely off their back. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that. But from what I've seen, I think this is a step in a new direction, and it looks pretty good on the team so far.
Yeah. It's hard as a fan because there's so many. We have these, you know, the team wants us to root for these players, and they, you know, here's your Avalanche and these are your guys and blah, blah, blah. And then it goes sour, and then it's like, well, get out of here. You know, we talked about how big of a huge fan he was of the Avalanche going in. He walked in the door with massive loyalty and then walked out without it. And you wonder where that came from. Did it come from Matt? No, probably not entirely. Yeah. I mean, not entirely. Some of it, yeah. But if you, somebody else brought it up, and I can't remember where. It was probably, I think it was like, I saw it on Kuko's Corner, which is a great site for like, if you just want to kind of find out the overview of what other writers are writing about. You know, brought up the Patrick Waugh criticizing him for his 50 goal or his 30 goal celebration when they were losing the game pretty poorly. And I just thought, you know, to me, that was kind of one of those, it wasn't quite beginning of the end, but it really showed you that while everybody was criticizing him for Duchesne for not caring about what mattered at the time, and yet the organization seemed to care about something that didn't really matter at the time.
Yeah.
You know, the guy finally, you know, hit the most goals in a season, and it's been something that people have been talking about. And then, you know, and the Avs finally get a 30-goal scorer. How long has it been since the Avs have had a 30-goal scorer?
Yeah, been a while, yeah.
And then all of a sudden now it's a bad thing. So it's like, you know, was he managed in a proper way? I don't think so.
Who knows? Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we don't know.
Oh,
and
tons.
We won't ever find out. But I put in the notes, where did it all go wrong? That's definitely part of it. And I'm sure there's a ton of other things that have happened that, you know, one of the things that Duchesne said before he left, well, as he left, was, thanks for making my dream come true. So there is that. He left graciously, kind of going, I mean, I think it was clear that he didn't want to be here anymore, and there's things like that. Like, it's a super complicated thing, but one thing that I did wonder that I wanted to talk to you about was he ready to be the second-tier scoring guy on a team? Because the more you watch and the more you kind of talk to people, and it sounded like this was going to be Nathan McKinnon's team as they were moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Was Matt Duchesne ready for that to happen? And I bet you that had – I don't think Matt Duchesne's been second fiddle on an offensive aspect besides a Canadian team.
Mm-hmm.
Was he ready to do that? I don't know. I think that complicates things as well, because we have seen leading up to the trade and since the trade a different Nathan McKinnon. I don't think there's any doubt about this. This is the best stretch of hockey he's played in an Avalanche uniform. He's had periods. He's had games. He's had a couple games where he's looked really good. He has looked, at times, absolutely dominant during games for an extended amount of time. It's really nice to see. Is that because Duchesne's gone? I don't know. But I'm sure, the things I think about.
I'm sure it changed the dynamic of the locker room a lot.
Absolutely.
You know, but you're also asking a guy who is kind of not wanted there to want to be there. And that's, I don't know, Jay. I mean, I've been in jobs where you thought you were wanted and then you're not, and it's no fun for you. Mm-hmm. And you're still supposed to do your job. So you show up, you do your job. Why everybody wanted Matt Duchesne to absolutely sugarcoat everything and make it look like everything's fine and everything's great when he's not even wanted there. Yeah. Like everybody was saying how he didn't want to be there, but what made it that way? And you know, so it makes me wonder, you know, okay, why, if he was in that position, Ryan O'Reilly kind of was in that position. You wonder if maybe Ryan O'Reilly was trying to price himself out.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I'll take the money because, you know, I don't really want to be here. Maybe he did want to be here. I don't know, but it's a good strategy when you are locked in and you can't leave, as, you know, restricted free agents basically can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Make yourself available to trade.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe Paul Stastny, same type thing. Like, we want you, but we don't want to pay you what your numbers say you're worth in this free agent market.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to be.
That is a very tough place to be. And then, you know, well, with Stastny, I mean, how many times are we going to have the guy? And then the Avalanche are a budget team. Therefore, you're going to get budget considerations. Why we expect the players to act like that's cool and great and everything in a market that's not going to be, that where other places aren't going to behave that way?
Yeah.
Like, if money talks in hockey, if the salary makes a difference, if, like, you know, your top guys are really well paid and then you're a top guy, but we're not going to pay you, what do you, you know, that also shows competitiveness in
absolutely
this, you know, in that kind of thing. So, which is weird, because, like, then you have the Vegas Golden Knights, who are really not a team of casts off per se or nobodies, but there is not, you know, you don't have your Taze or your Kane or your, you know, your Crosby or your Ovechkin or any of the, you know, any of that style or level of player. And yet they're doing pretty well.
They are doing better than I think people thought, playing with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's something they can rally around for as long as they need to. You know, nobody wanted us. Let's show them.
Well, there's, you know, it's the question in hockey right now of what's going to really make the big difference? Is it going to be the stars on your top line and your cheap guys on your fourth line? Is it going to be more balanced across? Mm-hmm. And they're showing the balanced across can really make a difference.
It can. Whereas the Avs, we can kind of transition to this if we want to, but the Avs, like a lot of other teams, ended up putting their top three players on the top line, mm-hmm. and they've been spectacular so far.
Yeah.
So that line of McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen, I mean, 12 points the other night against the Capitals, and you know that all kind of started against the, you know, after a 7-0 crush by Vegas, they win 6-3 against the Blackhawks, and that, you know, that line was spectacular again, and the Avs have looked a lot better. They had 11 shots on goal for the line and a bunch of stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 12 points in one game, that's a good week for some top lines. But then again, last night was a little bit rough in Nashville, but credit to them. But so there's that aspect as well. So do you balance out your lines like the Avs have tried, or do you put your top guys on the top line, let them do as much as possible, and see what happens from there?
These days it seems almost like, you know, you look at the last several Stanley Cup winners, you know, I mean, two for the Penguins, three for the Blackhawks, you know, and those are teams that had top line, you know, that had solid, very, very serious top lines, you know, but it doesn't always work out that way perfectly. You know, even remember the Sharks missing their, you know, their season where they missed the playoffs, and there were still the very top. There were some very good top players. So it depends. I mean, there is no one winning strategy that's always going to work, but it kind of gives me a little bit of hope in that you can balance your lines a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then take a look at the room that's been opened up for some of the younger guys on this team. It's pretty interesting. Like how well, like Kerfoot, mm-hmm. who saw that coming, you know?
Yeah.
Confer's been nothing to sneeze at. And, you know, you kind of expected a little bit from him, but, you know, he's been right in the muck of things. He's, you know, he's only got 5 points, but still he's been effective.
Well, when you get guys like Como and Soderberg playing better on a more consistent basis, mm-hmm. you've got Andrew Ghetto doing kind of what he did at the end of last season. And then you've got Neil Yakupov that I don't think I'd take a whole season of what I'm seeing right now. I mean, he's nothing amazing, nothing spectacular, but he's looking fine. I'll take 15, 20 goals off a guy like that. And so far he has 5 goals, 3 assists
and
18 games. I can take that.
My question about Neil Yakupov is why does he take as much abuse? He gets singled out a lot by other players. Like he seems to be really the guy that they try to really poke the bear hard on. And I wonder if there's something about him, like if there's like
they know something we don't know.
Yeah, like maybe he is a hothead that they can draw out a penalty on. But I really haven't seen that much. I mean, he shoves back, but
I saw it once. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not, you know. You see that all the time.
Yeah.
But nothing spectacular with
that. I haven't noticed that yet. I'm going to look for that a little bit more.
Yeah, keep an eye on. Like after a play, he'll get the extra little shot.
Literally poke the bear.
They will poke the bear.
Poke the nail.
They will.
Oh, sorry. We had to have those moments.
Where's the closing credits sound? Jeez.
This show's over.
Want
me to pull this podcast over?
This podcast is this podcast is done.
You think we're going to keep going with stuff like
that? I'm going to tolerate that sort of podcasting on this podcast. You are in for another thing, mister.
Thanks. Yeah. I thought you'd throw that. It's either you're going to call me mister or you people. Either one of those works. Some of the issues,
you people isn't not a good one.
But you people's good. Like if you want things done, you mention like if you people around here, like that's when people are like, we really need to please this guy now.
Either that or they're like, wow, this guy is a problem.
This dude, yeah. So we've got balanced lines. We've got guys playing a little bit better, allows for some flexibility. I'm excited that the Avalanche haven't had to change lines lately as well. What happens is the Avalanche have two or three games that they just look off sync. Things aren't working out. We're going to change the lines. It's like, you know, how many more times are we going to look for something that may not be there? It's been nice to have some continuity there, even through some injuries. I guess when you have a top line that's kind of performing the way the top line is, that helps a lot. So it's kind of exciting to see that because it's been a while since we've had that as fans.
It's funny because you bring up you know, the way that you present the line swapping is then you look at when people talk about Quenneville and how he line juggles, and they think he's brilliant when he does it. But I guess that's what, like,
it's all
Stanley
context.
Cups get you, you know? I mean, even when, you know, oh, he's swapping up his lines because things aren't working. It's so smart.
And then he has something in.
Like, why aren't these guys ever going to be able to play together? And you're like, who is talking right now?
You look at the standings, it explains a lot. You know, yeah, that's interesting.
You've got Taze, Kane, you know, Duncan Keith. You got all
like
these
guys that are just, they get rid of some, and we'll bring in some more guys, and everything will be just fine. And it is, and it's like, that's not fair.
What, you know? But then again, you know, like look at the Coyotes right now. They got Homerson, Hammerlammer Ding Dong.
Don't
they got
hurt
him,
yourself.
And he has not performed for the Coyotes. Yeah. Nobody has performed for the Coyotes.
Panarin, where'd Panarin go? Did he go that way too? I can't remember. I don't even care about the Blackhawks. They're not even that good. I can barely joke that way.
Columbus?
Yeah, that's what it was.
When they got Brandon Saad back?
Totally.
I think that was it.
It's just a bunch of cast. It's a cast of guys underneath. They're like, whatever. These guys will take care of it.
They can plug me in.
And then
and
they
I
do.
Haven't skated in over a year. Mm-hmm. I got four plates in me, and we could still win a Stanley Cup.
That'd be awesome. They'd be like, let's talk to James. He's making things happen. Yeah. James, how's it going?
Let's do a hockey.
Let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey.
Man, this guy's good. Back to you. Yeah. So the thing that I think has kind of come out through this whole thing and continues is the defense. Varley has to make 60 stops against the one hockey team in the NHL. That was against the Coyotes on November 2nd, and Varley makes 60 saves. We know a busy Varley is a better Varley. But in that he had to break his, you know, credit to Brandon McNicholas, the Avs PR dude, media relations guy, who tweets out cool stats like this, B McNick on Twitter if you need him. He broke his own Avs record of 54 stops. The franchise record is 70 by Ron Tugnutt.
Ron Tugnutt.
We just love saying Tugnutt. It's just fun.
I want to name, if I get a dog, I'm naming it Tugnutt or Tuggers for that.
Yeah. Tuggers is nice. I like
Tuggers.
That.
You're Tuggers. Yeah.
But his real name has to be Ron Tugnutt.
It would be Tugnutt. Yeah.
Okay, I like it. No, put Ron in there too.
Don't tell me what to do. Don't write my story.
I won't.
Okay.
I was just trying to help.
I was in a bar one time.
I'd like your dog way better. If
I was
you went
in the bar Gabor's one time, and the Stars. Ron Tugnutt was playing for the Stars at the time, and for some reason it was a big rivalry, and Ron Tugnutt, like they score, I'm in, and people are like, yay, and I yelled out, bring me the head of Ron Tugnutt.
And people are like,
okay,
is that guy all right?
James is never drinking cider again.
Cut him off. Hockey reference, hockey_REF on Twitter as well, a great follow for those of you that like, you know, not random stats but good stuff. Semyon Varlamov was the 10th player since 1987 to have 57 plus saves in a game. Considering the Coyotes didn't have many scoring chances, they weren't from kind of high quality scoring chance areas and things like that, but 60 shots is a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And the Avs are still working on the defense. EJ is playing more than ever, mm-hmm. but he's healthy and he looks better. And the team's better because of that.
Yeah. I mean, there are going to be games like that. There are just going to be a few games. And when you have guys who can put it through, you know, that you're going to get those shots.
And in general, if Varley sees it, he's going to save it. We appreciate him for all that. I'm glad there hasn't been a bunch of 60 save efforts since then. But the defense is something that's really hard to build, really hard to maintain, and things like that. But the 1-2 punch on the power play between EJ, whoever, you know, sometimes they do the four forward thing. But you've got Tyson Barrie, Sam Girard, and EJ on the power play on the blue line. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah.
So hopefully Girard is the type of guy that can do a lot of things. He's not going to be your shutdown defenseman that EJ is, mm-hmm. but he adds an aspect that every team would really like to have.
Yeah.
And we've seen that only through a couple games watching him already. And he's only 19. And again, he was eligible to be sent back to his junior team. And maybe in Nashville, that was something they would have done. Not in Colorado.
No.
So a nice addition. And I think a good pickup by Joe Sakic. And
hopefully
he keeps
sustain
it.
Because you and I have talked about like that minor league experience. That can help you grow into that NHLer, and how sometimes these guys who are, you know, your number one, your number two overall picks, they don't go through any of that.
Yeah.
And it can be a hard transition. So hopefully, you know, hopefully that's maintainable. The It is something I worry about. And they always say, you know, from the goal out, you know, the goalies take the longest to get seasoned, and then, you know, defensemen and then forwards. So, you know, you wonder about that. And also same thing with EJ, because he kind of went through the same experience. He's had slumps. There are times when you think, wow, this guy was the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And there are times when you think, yeah, that guy was the number one overall pick. So hopefully he finds, you know, he keeps his footing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's 5'10", 160. So like you said, he's not going to be that physical presence, but hopefully he has enough of that skill. And it seems like enough of that instinct. And he you know, he's the 47th pick of the Preds in the 2016 draft. He had already had 3 points in 5 games for the Predators. People were pretty excited about it, but they felt it was time for a move. And, you know, you watch them, especially in their game last night where they smoked the Avs when the Avs had, I think it was... I think they had 11 minutes worth of power plays in the first period and got like 6 or 7 shots. I mean, that's a good team over there. Mm-hmm. So it must be nice to have some things that you can move around and offer to teams where you can get some things back to fill in some holes for you. But again, hopefully the Avalanche end up benefiting from that a little bit more.
Is John Michael Lyles, 5'10", 185 pounds. So this is like, you know,
mini version,
smaller.
Mini,
how's
but
that
he's,
possible?
He is.
How's that possible?
He's makes smaller. Size. I wonder. You know, he's 19, so he'll grow a little bit. Hmm. I don't know. We'll see.
This is a little bit off of our notes.
Please,
Colin Wilson, working out? Not working out? What do you think?
Well, he hasn't been healthy quite enough, so it's hard to kind of say. He's got
12 games.
He's got it. He scored his first goal.
12 games.
12 games?
He's got 12 games.
Is that good?
I don't know. That's how many games he's got so far with the Avs.
I don't notice him that much. I don't know if that's good or bad. Mm. I haven't quite watched him enough to decide whether he's better, he makes the team better while he's in the lineup or not, but I don't know. Your thoughts?
I don't know. That's what I was, yeah.
That's mine.
I don't really know yet.
No, that's, I don't know either, but, you know, that wasn't a trade either. That was a signing. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll win that signing.
I don't know. I don't know how much money he's making. So
yeah, man, okay. But the thing is too, going back to the signings and going back to the trades immediately, it's, we won the trade, and some of it's joking, which I can always appreciate, but some of it's like, man, the Avs really lost or won that trade. It's like, can we just wait for just a little while, please?
No.
You guys know how we roll on this show, and it's like, give Bernier, we talked about it last show, give Bernier 10 or 15 starts, and then we'll talk a little bit more about where he fits in this whole deal. Same way with the trade. So I haven't followed Matt Duchene much after, and I don't, you know, the Avs got to see him in Sweden for a couple games, and he almost scored a couple times. I would not have been happy if he scored, but he didn't, so life is okay. But how awkward. I mean, just you know, how long it had been talked about, and then it happens during a game. It's a three-way trade, and then they play each other twice in the next two games. It was just...
Which are the only two times that they're going to see each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're in Sweden, so you don't even know what the reporters are saying over there.
I know. They could be saying whatever they wanted to. It's like code.
You know, can you imagine if, like, Matt Duchene went up to Landeskog and was like, what did they say? Oh, never
mind. Forget it. Just forget it.
I'm talking to you.
So I don't know. Landy's a hero back there. Not necessarily. The thing was, like, Landy had his chances and didn't score. It would have been awesome, but then he comes back here and records his first career hat trick.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun.
That was weird that it was his first. And he credited his mustache, which that's even more awkward.
No, is it awkward or is it amazing?
Is he a ginger?
I don't think so.
He's blonde, but he looked a little gingery. Maybe it was because he was standing next to Lauren.
Everybody looks like a,
and she, looks, yeah, like a like ginger next extra to red hair.
Lauren Gardner?
Kind of, yeah.
I don't know. We're just going to stay away from those type things. You want to talk about Alexander Kerfoot, and what do you think of Kerfoot so far? I mean, you got the numbers.
Thumbs up.
Approved.
Thumbs up.
Tape leg approved.
Okay. There we go.
Excellent. He's looking good so far. He's looking pretty good.
15 points, 7 goals, 8 assists. He's got one more goal than McKinnon right now.
He's doing that hockey.
He is doing hockey, and he's doing it well.
He is doing that well.
Gabriel. Yeah, no, where, I don't know where the heck he came from. 14 penalty minutes. That's a little high.
That is a little high.
That's a little high. So,
I don't remember him being in a box lately. Maybe those were early.
Zadorov has 28.
He likes to fight. He sticks up for people.
Man.
Angry Zadorov is my favorite Big Z.
Yeah, that's, you know what?
You don't want to make him angry.
There is no, I mean, he is kind of angry, but not like, there isn't any, there isn't a McLeod on this team anymore. There Mm-mm. isn't, there is no dude, no brawler. So, I mean, even the Red Wings got in a line brawl the other night. I don't know if you saw that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, a line brawl. They haven't had like an actual fight since like 2007, and they get in a freaking line brawl.
It was a major kerfuffle.
It was. It was a bit of a. It was a Donnybrook.
I'm out.
Dust up, really? Come on, stay with me.
never.
Gosh.
Gabriel Landeskog with 8 goals already, mm-hmm. only 6 penalty minutes. We like this.
That seems impossible.
We have talked about this.
That seems impossible. Where he, yeah.
Starting to play like the captain a little bit and getting comfortable. I think it said a lot about his chemistry when he scored his hat trick. And granted, it was towards the end. It was like last minute of the game. But he's known for taking the top of the water bottle off and nailing people with it.
Everybody else got him.
Like, I think this is a lot about your chemistry. It's always fun to win, especially against the Capitals, things like that. But looking pretty good.
I dumped water over myself that evening just to feel like I was part of it all.
Oh, wow. I'm going to do that next time.
No, you won't.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, Kerfoot second with 7 goals, Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko with 6. They're looking better. They're still in last place in the division.
Well, they've still
but they're got, better. They're scoring goals.
They've got secondary scoring, which they haven't had for a while. I mean, you know,
even from Blake Como.
Andrew Ghetto with 5. Yeah, Como's got a few.
Got 2 shorthanded goals. I mean, these are the things that we've been waiting for, and hopefully they can kind of keep it going.
Somebody did a drop pass recently that worked out really well, and I'm pretty sure I got on Twitter, which was weird, and said something like, "That is, note to Blake Como, that is how you do a drop pass."
There's still jokes, like you just can't, you can't not.
Didn't somebody do a Avs Twitter psychic pick with that gif?
Yeah, for today's game. So yeah. I don't, maybe it was just the only one they could find. So
do they mean that he's not going to score?
I don't know. A little reverse psychology there. I don't know. But the Avs are scoring hockey pucks. They look better top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Defense is still working itself out. Healthy Varley, healthy EJ. Duchesne gone. Not saying that Duchesne gone adds or subtracts. It just is what it is.
Right.
Looking better than they did. And I think that's all we were hoping for. Even though they still are in last place, but they have above 500 record, whatever that means in hockey. But looking pretty good.
And what's this? But yeah, you know, I'm actually softening on the whole 500 thing myself.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
No, totally. Okay. I appreciate the air quotes that you gave there.
Everybody else
see
that?
Yeah, because this is a podcast.
That's right. You
so
can see that.
People,
you guys don't want to watch us make this thing anyway.
I think the air quotes were kind of implied. Yes.
Totally.
Yes, bring me my derby.
Yes.
I think that, it's not wins and losses that get you in, it's points. So,
yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
Overall, they're just looking better. I like it. They're looking more competitive. Mm-hmm. They're looking, you know, we watched probably the last 3 quarters of last season. It's tough to watch just because of the demeanor of the team and something happened and things are definitely getting better.
How many teams actually go from worst ever to playoff position in like that one season?
Yeah. And I don't think we're definitely not expecting that. We just wanted better. It couldn't get much worse. I was nervous if it was, but we like that so far. Faceoffs, especially with Duchesne gone or may not become a larger factor. They've been struggling lately with that. And Duchesne was one of the best in the league.
They were great on faceoffs last year and it didn't do a damn bit of difference.
There you go. So back and forth with that. Yeah. And the road power play has been not good. Last mm-hmm. night was a pretty good indication of that. Credit to Nashville. I mean, Rene and the whole team, as far as how they were defending on the penalty kill, it was outstanding. I mean, they are good enough, fast enough, aggressive enough to where you fumble the puck. Rycroft was saying this after the game, or between the first and second period, you fumble the puck and it's gone. And when you have a team that's good enough to do that, more power to you. Mm-hmm. But so there's still a couple things to figure out. But overall, like I said, much improved mentally, much improved physically. Health is kind of there, kind of not there, but it hasn't slowed them up that much.
18 games in, you know, there's plenty of time to see what the heck is going to happen.
Absolutely.
Quick question, Bernier, mm-hmm. how you feel about him?
It's hard to say with the defense. It really is. Mm-hmm. You know, we said it last show, he was 21-7-4 or something last year, but that's with a much improved defense. And I'm not trying to bury the Avs defense right now, but it's hard to I think show me a good, you know, a good defense, I'll show you a good goaltender, and I'll show you a good coach, or vice versa. So I don't know. I haven't decided on him. I need a little bit more. He hasn't necessarily stolen any games, and hopefully he won't need to. But with this defense, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
What do you think as far as what you've seen? Is he the guy that they should re-sign, or is it? It's probably a little early, but what do you think so far?
I mean, you know, I think he's going to be trade bait. I really think he's going to be deadline trade bait for somebody looking for a solid backup that wants to go the distance. He beats the heck out of a lot of other options.
Yeah.
But he's on a 1 year. And once you get to the deadline, the cap hit is going to be cheap. And now they have the Hamburglar. So that doesn't really speak highly of his longevity.
Yeah. And I'm not sure it's necessarily his fault, but.
Oh, no. You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, Hamburglar is also is also going to be a free agent next year, and he has a slightly lower cap hit. So he could be trade bait, but. You know, it depends on who wants what for what at that point. And goalies get hurt. You just have to see what happens.
That's what I worry about. I wonder where this team might be if Varley does go down. He didn't, you know, he struggled a little bit last night. The Avs so far, like I said, have been better, but it's pretty dynamic so far. They've looked really good some nights, and other nights it's like they don't quite have it. But that's the nature of the beast sometimes. But,
yeah.
Yeah, if Varley goes down, you've got Bernier, and then you've got
Hamburglar,
you've got Spencer Martin, I believe. Yeah, you've got a couple goaltenders down in the minors. Are they going to be able to step up?
We wondered the same thing about Calvin Pickard, but he stepped up as best he could given the circumstances.
Wow, Andrew Hammond is making $1.35 million this year.
Yep.
Playing down the minors.
Yep. Not bad. Well, yeah. I mean, is he on a one-way or a two-way? Hard to say. He's probably on a one-way.
He's 29 years old, so I don't know. Yeah, Joe Colborne is making 2.5 this year, and he's sitting the bench now in San Antonio. So there was that too.
That's not on the hit, is it?
I don't know, but I'm just curious that they still need to pay him. I mean, that's his contract. So
oh gosh, yeah. Yeah, I honestly am not sure if he's.
Oh, it says buried. There's buried cap, 1.475, sitting the bench.
Yep.
Healthy scratch in the minors. Yep. That's probably not so fun for him.
Oh gosh, no! And when you're doing that, and you know you're watching guys like Greer get the call up. Yeah. You're watching guys like
Antonito.
Who?
Antonito?
What's his name? you're basically sitting behind...
Dominic Toninato.
Who?
Toninato. It looked like he was going to be out for a while. I was like, man, these guys picked the wrong week to get called up.
Yeah.
Between...
And sniff glue.
Yeah, and
I mean, if Gabriel smirking. Bork is ahead of you in the lineup and you're making 2.5 in the minors... Kind of sucks.
Sam Girard making $728,000, $728,056.
And 5/6?
Oh, no, it's third. Anyway, $728,000 for the next 3 years? Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm sure he has some signing bonuses in there.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Things like that.
Congratulations to Andre Mironov, who scored his first NHL goal last night as well.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty fun.
That was cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of garbage time, but goals are goals.
Dude.
One more than we have.
You know, Wilson's could have been considered garbage time. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, that chunky backhander, but.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
That was nice. That first goal with my new team feeling. All right. What else?
I think that's it. You want to wrap it up?
We can wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. Do you have any shout outs?
Phrasing. No. I don't. I was trying to think about that. I just want to thank those of you who continue to support the show and thank those of you who continue to play off Twitter Psychic on the Twitter machine. And
why don't you guys love us more?
No, we're good. We get some love, but yeah, share the show if you know people who like the Avalanche, Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club, and things like that. We appreciate your support, and we are thankful and grateful that you're here. It's Thanksgiving week in the United States, and we're grateful for you. Yeah. How about you?
Tons of gratitude. We love everywhere.
You. We love you so much for all the things.
Like a like
don't.
I can't even describe it. I literally can't even describe it. Are you ready for the spiel?
We can do the spiel.
I'm doing the spiel.
I'm thinking about it. You want to continue the extended spiel, or you just want to be like, hey, Google us?
Why don't you stand sit by back and watch? Out.
Step into my office.
You ready for the glory?
I'm ready.
AvsHockeyPodcast.com. Ooh.
If we could drop this mic, we would, but it's attached to the boom thing.
Don't drop my mic. I paid for this mic. Do not drop my microphones.
Go to Google.
Do you know how much this was? Do you know what that microphone cost?
I don't even want to guess.
Why did you cough at it? What is wrong with you?
I didn't mean to make it angry.
It's upset now.
Can I pet it?
No.
Oh, don't touch. Ooh, don't touch like the mic. Touchy. Hot mic. Hot mic. Yeah,
settle down, mister.
Google us.
God,
I don't know.
What do you people want from me? Every week I say it, and like three of you go like, I don't know how to type. And then it just goes to heck.
We're on the internet. Just do it.
Optimized for mobile, so you won't look at it on your phone.
Mm-hmm. It's all there. I'm telling you, it's all there.
Yeah. You could subscribe.
All the things.
You could use whatever hashtag Jay hasn't told me we're using this week. You could buy a shirt. I don't know why you would, but you could. Jay's
awesome.
On Twitter at As Podcast. I'm on Twitter like only when I'm forced to be at the moment.
I like seeing your tweets, by the way. Thanks. Just saying.
Yeah, no, you can tell. And what else is there? Oh, I went to the Casper Coyotes game in Casper, Wyoming, and took some pictures. So I'll have those up on jerseysandhockeylove.com pretty soon.
Sweet.
9-5 final.
Defensive.
Oh, it was
struggle.
It was barely even. I don't even know how the Coyotes got five. The last goal against. My favorite part of the whole game was the last goal against was a penalty shot with 7-point-something seconds left, and the coach argued that it shouldn't be a penalty shot.
I don't even.
So
care.
Like we're just waiting for the coach to get whatever argument right. out is done, and we're like, dude, your goalie got lit up for 8, a 9th in a penalty shot isn't really going to change much.
Can he just pull him for the penalty shot
then? Can we go home, please?
Yeah, you really want to protest?
Pull your goaltender. Why don't you put the other goaltender in just for the penalty shot?
Really, let's get this moving here, people.
Yeah, the goaltender's grandmother was standing next to me, and total like that person at the hockey game.
Oh, no.
Like, yelling at the
– Really? You know,
get it out of the whole deal. I moved after the first period.
Shoot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no. Nobody likes that, even if you're a family member.
It was done.
Yes.
It was done. It was more done. I was more done than that rest of the game was done.
And the goaltender.
Ogden Mustangs versus
Cool name.
Yeah, Casper Coyotes.
I thought you were referring to a player. That would be an awesome player
Ogden.
Name.
Yeah. Ogden Nash. That was a poet. Okay, I did our spiel essentially. Just wrap,
there we go.
Wrap us up. For
right
God's
on.
Sake, would you?
I'm grateful for you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Would you like to touch my Surface Pro 4?
Yeah, I did.
My iPad's at home again.
My iPads. I've got two iPads here.
Oh, that's right.
You gonna touch them?
I don't know whether I should.
Then don't.
Okay. Again, we're grateful for you. James, thank you.
Yep.
We'll be back with you in, I don't know, next month. We'll chat.
Yeah.
We'll chat about abs. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And do that hockey.
I'll be knee deep in Nutcracker at that point. So trust me, I'll be ready to talk to somebody who's not a Sugar Plum Fairy.
Oh, man. That's the best quote of the whole podcast.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
We haven't talked about me breaking my arms just yet. I haven't told the story yet.
Oh, so yeah.
That's coming up after the thing.
Stay tuned for that for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, for James, Tape Leg Grayley, and I'm JV. Take care. Let's go Avs. We'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
So we're in Baltimore.
Scooter.
We're in Baltimore, and they're doing a photo call that day for the show, which means that they bring in the photographers and, you know, they, you know, go through little scenes and then hold, and then they take like 4 or 5 pictures for, you know.
Like whatever. Freeze, like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, so, you know, they'll do part of a dance and just like hold there, and then they take a bunch of pictures for, you know, the program, for advertising, right. Whatever. So they're doing photo call. Photos are visual, so they don't need the sound guys. So I'm off that day.
That makes sense.
In Baltimore, and I'm riding my scooter around. And I'm going into a turn, and it's one lane, and there's traffic coming the other way. And I've been on this road a few times. And all of a sudden, there's cars stopped for, like, somebody making a left. And I'm doing, like, 35, somewhere between 35 and 40.
On a scooter?
On a scooter.
Oh.
And all I can do is I square up. You know, I come out, I get upright and brakes, you know, as hard as I can. And bam, I hit a 2001 Honda Accord, which is actually the perfect height for hitting something with a scooter.
Right? I didn't know that yet, but.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like if I had hit an SUV, I would have just splatted on the back.
Mosquito.
Like, yeah, pretty yeah. much. But instead, so, you know, I hit the trunk and I went through head first through my windshield and his rear window. And obviously I was wearing a helmet. I'd just gotten a riding jacket, which had like shoulder pads and a spine protector. So I had this big German helmet called from Schuberth, and they're great. They had like the front flipped up and all that.
Right.
And it was really cool. But because of like, it's just a little bulkier and all that, the whole helmet just kind of went into my shoulder pads and I didn't have any head injury, no neck injury, nothing wow. like that. Right.
Okay.
So I go through my plexiglass windshield. I go through his glass rear window. But when I hit the car, of course, you know, my scooter stopped. No, I punched his trunk.
Oh, damn it.
And my wrist bent down. And oh. I actually dented his trunk, like the I kind of hit like the corner top of his trunk. So I hit the trunk. My right wrist.
They both
wrist,
went down?
Yeah. My right wrist, if you're like looking at the back of your hands, the inner wrist there, mm-hmm. The inner bone, that was all S-shaped. And then on my left one, about 2-3 inches down from my, you know, from the wrist, the bones came out.
So, like out.
Like out. Like you can feel the dip in my skin and all that right there. You go ahead. It's all right.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right there. So, and then, so I had to have a plate put in. I had three plates put in, one in my right, and then two in my left. And you can actually feel the screw heads on this plate.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you felt that, right? Yeah, go ahead. Like, you have to actually push. There you go. See the, okay. So, I don't, what I thought happened was that I like stayed on the guy's car, like outside the car on his trunk. So when I went inside the car head first, I kind of blacked out. I don't remember this part, but apparently, so it was this kid, it was like his dad's car. And he was probably like 18 or 19 or something. And all of a sudden, there's this dude.
Like, hey, how's it going?
With his head in between the front seats.
Is that how far it went?
Yeah. Oh, I went on. I went in. And
hey, what's up, dude?
How's it going? Says, what I said, I don't remember this, but apparently what I said was, what do you suppose just happened?
See, you're halfway blacked out. You're all jacked up. Your wrists are, and you're still witty.
I'm still me.
Come on.
So
this is instinct.
So somebody opens the back door of the car. Now, this is why I thought that I had
did you move or you just kind
of climbed
hang
out of the car.
Okay. Through the back or through the back door?
No, through the door. Like the rear passenger side door. Okay. Somebody opens.
I'm going to get out now.
I thought I climbed off of the guy's trunk. Right.
Okay.
Because, you know, suddenly I'm outside and that's right. where things, you know, where the memory turns back on.
Oh, yeah.
So I climb outside the guy's car. I take about 3-4 steps and I fall down on the ground. Cause you know, I mean, I just,
and you can't catch yourself.
Well, I'm
but wait,
there,
there's more.
And you know, in like movies, like when you have that shot of like the person who fell over and they're looking up and then all the heads kind of come in. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's exactly what it's like. Cause I've got my helmet on. We can't take my helmet off because you know, neck injury, that kind of thing. We don't know. Right. So I've just got my helmet on and I'm seeing through the visor and all these people kind of are like, huh? And I said, hey, my hands kind of tingle. Are they okay? And this guy just looks at me and goes, nope.